Bienvenidos and welcome, everyone. I am Lauren Hutton, and you probably already knew that. Thank you so much for tuning into Lauren's podcast. Let me just lay out a big blanket statement. I'm sorry about my brother. I feel the need to apologize about him. That happened. It happened. If you didn't like it, it's fine. It probably won't ever happen again. But we got a whole live person on the phone right now, Daniel Cooney Waterhouse. How are you, buddy?
I am also sorry for your brother.
You have a hyphenated name.
On Facebook, yes. That's my mom's last name, Cooney. Daniel Cooney Waterhouse.
Oh, so that's not how it shows up on your birth certificate?
No, my birth certificate is Daniel Waterhouse, but growing up, we went by Cooney Waterhouse because my mom had a kid before she met my dad, who happens to be my sister. And
I'm sorry, hold on. Did you just say your dad happens to be your sister?
No, the kid my mom had before she met my dad.
Sorry, I'll stop interrupting with nonsense.
And she's not a kid anymore.
I mean, that's good. Oh. So, I mean, that's a great way to start a podcast. It's like, hey, your name's different. Why?
Yeah, no.
Am I doing everything in my power to make you feel comfortable?
It would be way funnier if my parents were divorced, but unfortunately that's not the case.
Oh, your folks are all, like, happily married and whatnot?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I know.
Most funny people have, like, some sort of very, very traumatic or at the very least, dramatic, like, childhood. Are you saying that your parents are just happy?
Dude, you have no idea how hard it is to have the only married parents in an all-divorced group of friends. I got it, let me tell you.
How long have they been married, man? That's really impressive.
Oh, like a long time. Really long time. They are just killing it.
Wait, how old are you?
22.
You're only 22?
Indeed.
Why did I think that you were closer to my age? I think you have an old soul trapped inside of you.
Oh, yeah. And she just wants out.
You know, I don't know if you've listened to the show extensively or not, but I've talked about you on this show before. I've mentioned you. I've dropped dimes with your name on them.
Oh, dude, I love to be name dropped.
Yeah, it's nothing good. the only thing
even
I
even better.
The specific thing I remember bringing up about you about it was the first time that I ever saw you on stage, and I emphatically believed that you were going to give up in 2 weeks and I would never see you again. I believe that we talked about you on the car ride home. I was like, yeah, you remember that guy that did I don't know what it was. It was like 7 minutes of my dick looks like. He's never going to make it.
Yeah, dude, I remember in the beginning, I wrote 30 my dick looks like jokes.
Are you serious? Have you ever done something all like 30 that. Of them on stage in a row?
I think I did like the most I did. I would do like 12 something. Like,
yeah.
I would just keep going until everyone hated me.
I mean, is that something that like you play with on stage, trying to be the villain up there? Is that your game?
No, I was just there. I was just being. I wasn't being a villain necessarily. More so, bad at stand up.
Let's be honest. Anyone that's bad at stand up is a villain. They should stop doing what they're doing until they either figure it out or give up.
Yeah,
you figured it out though.
Dude, whenever I see somebody bomb, I go up to them afterwards and I go, hey, I just want you to know what you're doing is fucked up.
I'm sorry, Mom. Oh, yeah, I forgot to mention this to you, and we've been bad at it for the past couple episodes, but I don't edit these. I don't censor anything that you're going to say, but if you do, like, curse or say anything heinous, I just ask that you apologize to my mother about it.
All right, and while we're at it, I drink White Claws. Sorry, Mom!
Man, I feel attacked. I feel horrendously attacked. Mango White Claws are my jam, bro. I love Mango White Claws.
I went through, like, I had to, like, wean myself off of Mango White Claws.
Okay, define wean yourself off. Did you develop a chemical addiction to the artificial
sweetener?
Dude,
I was drinking
something?
Like 2 Mango Tall Boys a day.
Are you? The fact that you're referencing the Tall Boys, you're talking about the like 24-ounce can, right? The Mondo can that they sold.
The White Claw Tall Boys, which they shrunk.
Wait, what do you mean they shrunk? Like
they're a little bit smaller than they used to be. A little bit taller. They used to be like an inch taller.
Okay, the more that you talk, the more like validity that your statement that you had to be weaned off of them. The fact that you know that they got smaller just totally doubles down on the fact that it was like I was way too into these White Claws.
I mean, yeah, no, the lady at my local little corner store, she's lucky I support her because I did say something. I said, listen, I'm gonna buy them, but these did get smaller and they are the same price.
I mean, did she have any sort of like a defense for that, or was she just like buy your shit and get out?
She had no defense. I mean, it's first of all, she was charging $2.75, which is already like literally, it's exactly 55 cents more than the fucking BP down the street charge. They charge them $2.19. So she and there were times where I had to go there.
Wait, why? Because they were out, or you were just enraged?
No,
because
I didn't have the extra 50 fucking cents.
How much more of a walk was it to the BP? Like how much? I'm trying to gauge your laziness to your poor level and figure out exactly where
you're mistaking laziness for recklessness. I fucking drove.
Okay, that makes more sense, I guess. No, you don't have to tell me about recklessness, dude. The entire episode that I just apologized with my brother is a story about when we got messed up on Four Loko and then drove to get more Four Loko.
Yeah, I love Four Loko. Have you ever done the Sidewalk Slammer?
I'm sorry, what?
The Sidewalk Slammer, it's when you get a Four Loko Gold and a Colt 45, you drink half the Colt 45, then you pour half the Four Loko Gold into the Colt 45, you drink all that, then finish the Four Loko.
That sounds like a terribly wonderful idea.
Yeah.
Why? What's it called again? What? The side street?
A sidewalk slammer.
A sidewalk slammer. Is that because that's what happens to you after you finish this ordeal?
You do have a strong urge to smash the Colt 45 bottle on the sidewalk after you finish it.
That makes more sense. I can get behind that. Have you ever like gotten in trouble for destruction of property?
Probably.
Okay.
I don't think I've gotten in trouble for it. I've definitely never gotten. I'm trying to think. Oh wait, no, I totally did. I got a Saturday study in high school because I etched with it. I took a thumbtack and I etched a penis onto the top of another student's laptop.
I honestly thought you were just going to say on top of another student. Like someone just
no, that
like,
would be.
You somehow sneaked an impression into somebody's shoulder of a dick. That's commitment and a finesse. Like you'd have to be a ninja to pull that off.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, now that you mention it, when I was in high school, I did carve a penis into a human.
And you know, I don't know why, but that seems entirely on brand for you. That sounds a Waterhouse story.
I was a real handful, let me tell you.
Did you go to public or private school? What kind of kid were you growing up?
I was super fucking privileged. I went to Seven Hills, like elementary and middle school, and then I went to Indian Hill for high school.
Oh my God, Indian Hill. The only thing I know about that is when I used to deliver pizzas in Indian Hill, their houses would make me feel bad about where I was at in my life.
Yeah, I'm delivering pizzas to Indian Hill right now with... Where did you work? What pizza place did you work at?
I think it was Papa John's.
Or yeah, maybe I'm doing Kenwood, or La Rosa's.
Oh, little local company, little Ohio Cincinnati pride.
Fuck them.
Sorry, Mom. Oh man, that's super fun. Yeah, but like speaking of employment, dude, like you recently went through like a whole thing where you were like, you know, fuck this place, I'm going out of here because your policies are bullshit.
I love quitting jobs.
Oh, so this was this not the first time that you stormed off of an employer's payroll based on moral decisions?
Yeah, I first of all, you got to quit at the beginning of your shift.
He's got it down to a science. I love it.
Yeah.
So, first of all, okay, let's back up just a bit. You used to work for a very large, widespread coffee emporium.
Listen, I'm not going to fucking protect these people. It was Starbucks.
Okay, yeah, you worked at Starbucks, and you came into work.
One location, and the people in question are named Kevin and Mike.
I'm sorry, what was ambiguity? I mean, what was that? I have no idea. We don't do that here. Yeah, so what happened? Talk about it, man. Like, what was the instance that got you in trouble in the first place?
Well, first of all, I would always write something stupid on my name tag. I never wrote my name on my name tag. I would always write, like, Dwayne The Rock Johnson or Chocolate Thunder or, like, Mocha Driz, Lil Uzi Vert, anything. And then one day, like, they would never fucking bat an eye. They'd be like, ah, fucking nice name tag, Daniel.
Right.
And one day I wrote Black Lives Matter on my name tag. My manager comes up to me and he's like, hey, Daniel, you're going to have to take that off. I'm like, excuse me. Why is this a problem? And fucking, you know, Brendan Fraser's ghost was not. Like, it didn't make any sense. And then, yeah, so I, you know, expressed my distaste for that. And he like printed out this company memo that basically said that it was just the most bullshit statement that said we support our customers and what they want to do and their voices and shit, but you can't do it at work because it breaks dress code.
So he literally said we support our customers, but our employees have to work like a robot and maintain a certain corporate image. End of story. That's basically what I'm getting.
Yeah, they said, shut up and bend over.
And what was your response to that, Daniel?
Well, the next day I came in not wearing, you know, the dress code at all. I came in wearing a Black Lives Matter t-shirt. And my shift supervisor, who just happens to be named Mike.
Of course.
I'm not saying he did anything wrong other than maybe, like, be a corporate whore. But, you know, anybody with a spine would have done something different. I'm not saying he did anything wrong.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's a bitch. But
sorry, Mom.
you can't clock into work wearing that shirt. You're going to have to go change. And I'm like, I'm not going to do that. And he said, well, I can't let you clock in. I quit. And then, I left. And then, like, conveniently, literally an hour less, I think it was less than an hour after I quit, Starbucks like put out a public statement saying that they support their employees' voices and that they're allowed to show any support of Black Lives Matter they want, whether it be like a t-shirt or a pin or whatever.
That happened like literally an hour after you walked out being told
it was literally like less than it was like 45 minutes after I walked out. Like somebody who was one of my coworkers who was working that morning sent it to me, like saw it on her phone and sent it to me.
That's so amazing. Do you think that you made that happen? Or do you think that's just a coincidence where they were like, they started, because you put them on blast, like all over. You, like I said, ambiguity was not a thing. You straight up were just like, this is the location. This is what they did. This is what I was wearing. This is why it's fucked up.
I don't know. I mean, like, I could have had no effect on it at all, or I could have single-handedly brought the Starbucks Corporation to their knees.
Right. How bad is your Messiah complex?
It's up in the air, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. So, you say that this isn't the first time that you've walked out on a job for moral reasons. Like, what was the other ones? Where else what other corporations do you think don't deserve your patronage as an employee?
Oh, well, I'll tell you one. I used to work at Kung Fu Tea, and I used to get up at every morning at 9 o'clock and go and make the bubble tea for the mall. And one morning, I was fucking tired. Didn't go in.
What moral like wavelength were you trying to send out with that?
I'm not gonna be your, you know.
But what?
Yeah.
Okay, so basically just fuck you, Kung Fu Tea. That's pretty much the gist of that one.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. Like,
how many jobs have you had, man?
I don't know. I've worked like 3 jobs at the Kenwood Town Center alone.
Jesus Christ.
No, 4.
You're just bouncing around the corridors there.
I recently worked at this sushi place at the mall and quit the first day.
Wait, why? What could happen in
the first day? They implemented like the mask requirement indoors. And I just kept telling people to put on their masks and they would just be like, and they just fucking, they'd be like, okay. And then just wouldn't. I'd be like, you have to put on their mask. And then they'd be like, oh, can I speak to the manager? And the manager would fucking side with them because it's literally my first day. And I was just like, yeah, this isn't going to work. I'm going to leave.
So
and I just left. I left like 3 hours in, which was a very awkward check to pick up.
Did you have to wait 2 weeks and then go back, or was it like,
yeah, like literally I had to go in and be like, hey,
can I get that $24 check?
Yeah.
I mean, did they hassle you about it, or did they have it there for
no,
you?
No, they were just like, how long did you even work? And I was like, I was here from like 3 to 6, and they were like, all right. They wrote me a check for $30.
That's amazing. That's super. Well, I mean, that's like $10 an hour, right?
Yeah, good for them.
Where else, man? What other places have you walked out on, and why? This is a fun little rabbit hole we're going down.
Oh, man. It's fucking so many.
You're only 22. I still can't believe that you've had the time to fill out this many applications.
Well, I also have been fired, but
yeah, we'll get into that next. But we're still in the walkout segment.
I'm trying to leave out like local small businesses so they don't fucking I don't, yeah, like this is gonna affect their business.
I mean, you don't have to say the name. You just want to drop an address.
I worked at you know that it's like a kiosk at the mall that has 2 moving chairs and you put on like virtual reality headsets.
Yeah,
and it's like
a
virtual roller coaster. I used to work at one of those, and a new manager showed up. Like they got a new manager one day after I've been working there a couple months, and he just took all of my hours.
Wait, for real? Like just wrote you off the schedule and did all your shifts?
Yep, didn't fire me. Like I'm probably still an employee there.
They gave you the soft boot, man.
Yeah.
That's so weird. I mean, did you have any inkling that you were doing a bad job, or did he just want to make your money for you or instead of you?
No, it's a really, like, dude, kiosks are just a weird, sketchy, lucrative business.
Yeah, I mean, I worked at a kiosk, but it was a kiosk that sold calendars for Walden Books, which also had a store inside the mall. So like it was basically just like a satellite location that was part of the Walden Books. And that was the first time I ever watched somebody just like pass out in public. That was an interesting thing. There was a lady that was working the kiosk and found out she was diabetic one day because she just blacked out while giving someone change. She was 6'4" and like 250 pounds, and when she hit the ground, the entire mall stopped. Because it was one of those things where like her hands came down and it had the full like I don't know, fulcrum? Is that what it's called? The bendy point?
Yeah, no,
of
we
an
get
axis.
It. I get it, Lauren. She was a real drama queen.
No, the drama happened afterwards because the general manager didn't know what to do. She'd never had anybody pass out as her employee before, and she was on the phone with six different people from corporate, and they were just like, well, these are the legalities, and this is how we're liable in a certain situation. She was like, I don't care about that. What hospital do I send her to? Tell me how to take care of your people.
There's nothing worse than the non-doctor who takes the lead in a medical situation. Nobody move! Nobody touch her! Nobody touch her!
Give her some space! Give her some air! Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. Like, that's going to do anything. She needs a respirator. I don't think if we maintain our six-foot distance, that's really going to make a difference.
Did she make this sound?
No, dude. Literally, she was having a conversation. She was mid-sentence, and then her eyes rolled into the back of her head, and she hit the ground and, like, smacked it so hard that everyone turned and looked to see what was happening.
That's not funny.
I love your knee-jerk reaction. I'm just like, oh, that's not okay. We shouldn't do that.
I hope she didn't hit her head, but, like...
Fortunately not. Like I said, like she like fell on her own arm. She was totally fine. She woke up like 20 minutes later. They gave her some yogurt. She was like, I'm okay. Oh, man.
I'm always that guy like nagging my coworkers too. So like if that happened with me at work, I would just be like, you klutz. Oh, shit. Is she breathing? Like.
Oh, man. Where have you been fired from?
I got fired from this gas station near me. What else have I been fired from?
How did you get fired from a gas station? That is, like, literally the easiest. Like, seriously, I used to work at a gas station, and I stole beer from the walk-in in front of the cameras on the regular, and they never fired me. When I quit, they were like, if you ever need a job, just come on back. How did you get fired from a gas station?
Yeah, like, so our bathroom didn't work, and I had to go to the bathroom, so I just, like, shut down the entire gas station and, like, drove my house and took a shit.
They weren't keen on that, were they?
No, and it was, like, my fifth day.
So you barely knew what you were doing, and you were just like, well, there's only one solution to this problem, and it's not like, take a shit in the woods.
And went and took a shit.
That's all you did. Did you lock the doors? Like, did you have keys? And
oh
stuff?
Yeah, I locked the doors. I locked everything up. I turned everything off.
Yeah.
I closed up. Yeah, and then.
How long were you gone?
Apparently, 30 minutes.
Apparently, it's written on a report somewhere on some Speedway corporate dialogue. So you just, like, closed up shop, went home, took a shit. When you got back, were there people, like, waiting on you? Like, how did you even get caught?
No, he said, like, there was, like, he was watching me on the camera, and, like, somebody came and couldn't get in because it was closed. And I'm just like, who gives a fuck? Right. I had to shit.
Right. You didn't give me a working bathroom. Exactly. Exactly. Oh, man. That's one of my favorite questions that I get now, because, like, I have to interview people for my job, and it's a delivery-style thing, and people are always like, well, where do I go to the bathroom? And I'm like, have you heard of gas stations? You can stop at any of them, and I almost guarantee they have a working bathroom. Except for this one. Don't go to Daniel Waterhouse's gas station. You still own that gas station, right? That's what I was implying.
Don't go to the marathon on Camargo Road. Hear that, Med Hot?
I think I'm going to call this episode No Ambiguity. Because you're just name dropping and address dropping. Is there anybody else in your past that you just be like, let's put them on blast? They were a terrible human being.
Yo, let's fucking burn every bridge in this town, motherfucker. I can...
Why the bridges?
I don't know.
Some people need to go to Kentucky, man.
The
people that live in Kentucky and work in Cincinnati, I'm sure there's some. Do you consider yourself an anarchist? Because I get big dick anarchist energy from you.
No, I don't know. I don't have the energy to be an anarchist. I mean, listen, I love fire as much as the next guy, but I don't know. There's some places that I just don't want to see burn.
That's fair. That's fair. What do you hold sacred? What don't you want to watch burn?
Play places, the aquarium, most toy stores. what else? I really like pizza places, pizza parlors.
Pizza palace.
Old dinas. Like to go to the museum, look at the art, take it all in. Go to the Krone Conservatory, smell the flowers. Go to an Italian dinner. I don't know, maybe Maggiano's, Little Italy. I'd never want to see that place burn.
I like that. You so far you've touched on three major themes, and that's childhood, food, and art. Those are like the things that you, I mean, you were kind of being silly there, but in all honesty, like, you hold childhood sacred.
But I want to be fucking clear about something. Chuck E. Cheese can fucking burn.
Okay, but why? Why? Is it because it's garbage? Or is it because is there some evil vendetta, like some grand scheme that Chuck E. Cheese has that I don't know about?
First of all, not many people know this. Chuck E. Cheese died during this pandemic. It got swept up in the fucking news.
Wait, what? What do you mean it died?
Charles E. Cheese. All know what the E stands for.
He's gone. He's dead. He's a dead dude.
Yes.
Did he die because of COVID-19, or was it an unrelated car accident or something like that?
Listen, it's still up in the air. I think.
Jury's out on did they do an autopsy?
They say he drowned.
Of course. Of course. Fake news, liberal media spreading lies about Charles E. Cheese. I won't have any of it.
I think it was a power grab.
Do you think he was mixed up in that QAnon nonsense? Do you think that might have something to do with it?
I don't know what that is, but
How have you not heard about QAnon, man? Like, it's like the new hot button conspiracy.
Listen, I don't need to read conspiracies. All I have to do is just say it's human trafficking and the people nod. I'm assuming that's what it is.
I mean, yeah, it's a little more complicated than that. It's like harvesting the blood of innocent children.
Dude, it's like we all know human trafficking exists. And whenever I see people saying like, oh, people aren't the media isn't talking about human trafficking, that's hack, okay? Everybody fucking knows that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, these hack human trafficker hacks.
Come up with some original material and put it on some cardboard and stand in front of a building. Like you know you should.
Dude, I just yell at these people. I know the kids are missing. Get a new shtick.
Jesus Christ. Oh, but I mean, like, is that just another thing that's going to get swept under the rug or eventually?
Are you one of them? No.
Yes, I was a child that was taken. I was on the reciprocating end. That's what happened, man. The whole thing about me being raised in a foster house, that's all lies. It was a Bavarian kitchen that I was sold to at age 6 or 9. I don't know. They didn't keep good records in Bavaria.
Is that a place?
Bavaria? You're
Bavaria?
Bavaria. Bavarian chocolate, Bavarian sausages. You got a face that says you know about Bavaria.
Well, I got a mouth that says I don't.
Jesus Christ, Daniel. Oh, man. You missing comedy? Have you done any shows since the pandemic has allowed us to have, you know, shows that could be rained out?
No, and I don't miss it.
You don't miss it? That's horse shit. I know that's a lie.
Yeah, of course. It sucks, but, you know, it is what it is. You got to pivot, people.
What's your pivot move, other than delivering for LaRosa's? What if stand-up comedy never comes back? How are you going to channel your wild creative energy?
Instagram influencer.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. Are you going to go the butt route, or are you going to just start using other people's products and taking pictures of yourself using them?
Actually, both. And if you go to calvinklein.com and use my promo code Daniel Butterhouse, you get 25% off on thongs.
Hey, man, you're doing what you can do, right? I mean,
yeah.
Seriously, though, in all seriousness, could you be an Instagram influencer, and what would you sell? What product would you be all right pimping your soul for?
Whatever pays the best. I don't care.
Right. If you're going to sell out, the goal is just to make as much money as possible, right?
Oh, my God. First of all, I can't fucking wait to sell out.
You don't have any artistic integrity whatsoever. You're just like, I'm waiting for a paycheck. Until then, I'll be silly.
I'm in it for the money and attention.
That's perfectly acceptable. I mean, at least you're not disillusioned about it. At least you're not trying to say, like, I'm in it because I want to craft an art form for the highest of brows. You're just like, nah, man.
Yeah, no, as soon as I have any type of traction, I'm dropping a sex tape.
You got to be careful, dude. You could drop it too early and it could hurt you.
It's somehow going to get leaked without my consent, and I'm going to be fucking upset about it.
You're going down that path. You're gonna start out on Instagram. They're going to move to TikTok, and then your sex tape is going to drop, and then you're going to pretend to be upset about it. And then you're going to pull a Rick Moranis and disappear from Hollywood for 30 years while you raise your kids.
I don't want children.
Why?
I'm definitely not going to have, I'm going to buy used if I do. I'm not going to fucking have my kids.
Hey, man, there, you know, a lot of people have had very, very good success at those used kid car lots. You know, you have a salesman showing you exactly what you're getting. There's no mystery that's brewing for 9 months. There's no buyer's remorse.
Yeah, no, like I just imagine like a shady car salesman, like, no, this kid's not used at all. I'm like, look at him.
He clearly already has fear in his eyes. I was going to put that there. How can I do that if it's already there?
I went to pet him. He tried to bite me.
Are you an animal person?
It hasn't been fiddled.
So you don't like kids. Do you like animals?
I love kids and Wait. Animals.
Okay. You just don't want any of your own?
No.
Like, same goes for animals? Like, you don't want a pet. You just want to pet someone else's pet in the park?
Not right now, I don't. A pet is less than a human.
You mean like in price, or because I mean that depends on where you're picking them up, really.
I mean, a dog can't say he hit me.
I mean, not with his words, but you know the dogs. You know the dogs. They look at you and they're like, "He hit me," and you read it in their eyes.
Not me, dude. I don't see dogs as beings. I'm just kidding. I love dogs. I would never hit a dog. I'd hit a kid, though.
Well, yeah, because sometimes that's the only way to, like, get your point across.
Yeah, how else are they going to learn?
My stepdad, when he first, like, started interacting with me, my biological dad looked at him, and he was like, how are you going to handle discipline? And my stepdad said, I'm going to talk to him, and I'm going to use kind words and encouragement to encourage good behavior, and that will weed out the bad behavior. And my biological dad said, good luck with that. And 2 weeks later, he asked my stepdad, how's the disciplining going? And my stepdad said, let me show you where I keep my thwacker. Yeah, I was a handful, man. I was a rambunctious child with ADHD and didn't listen to anything. You got to hit kids.
I mean, no, dude, hit I those love kids. How you've like justified your stories of abuse and made them like your own fault.
Well, obviously, any time that a kid gets hit, it's the kid's fault, right? Every single instance of every single time ever in every all of history, it's always the kid's fault. When parents get divorced, it's the kid's fault. My parents got divorced. It was my fault. I was 2 years old. Of course it was my fault. I was a tiny little shitbag.
Yeah, no, if I, I, yeah, that's why I don't want kids, dude. You got to, like, first of all, who wants a kid for the first 2 years?
It's when all the poop's coming out of them. They can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Were you like a social kid? Did you talk to strangers or were you scared of them?
Oh, I talked to strangers. I was that kid who would go up to like a random guy and be like, "What happened to your face?"
You were that little bastard.
Yep.
Why do you only have one arm? Did you forget the other one at home?
Oh my god, no, I was so fucking bad when I remember I was at like the museum center one time, and there was like this kid, and I guess he had like some type of skin condition that made his skin really fragile. So he had like, it was like he was like really pale and his skin was like wrinkly and had cuts all over it.
Oh jeez.
I fucking pointed and yelled, "It's Night of the Living Dead."
How old were you when you did that?
Like 14. No, I was like,
I was the worst freshman in my high school.
Yeah. No, I was probably like 7 or something, maybe like 6.
Yeah, dude. Like I would just talk to anybody. It didn't matter. I almost got kidnapped multiple times because I had no concept of like what a stranger was or why you should avoid them. And it's not like that wasn't taught to me. We watched all the Stranger Danger videos, but like, I always had this mentality of like, the rules don't apply. I can go away with a strange adult. Nothing will happen. It'll be fine. Yeah.
Yeah, they never got me either.
Dude, say that again?
I said they never got me either.
Yeah, you were too fast.
Yeah, although I do dress like a retired altar boy.
Your aesthetic like is very
really
unique.
Really leaning into their retirement. Like, who needs a childhood when you have a fucking settlement money and a boat?
Where do you get your wardrobe? Because it is very eclectic. It's very retro without being like classy at all.
Oh, I just fucking find it wherever they find me.
You have a very, very strong Goodwill aesthetic. Like, your clothes are just made up of articles that other people didn't want and haven't worn since 1997.
Yeah, no, I like to think that all the people who bought my clothes originally are dead.
Is that a prerequisite when you buy something? It's like, excuse me, how many folks passed in this? Oh, just one, and it's corduroy? I'll take it.
Oh, dude, corduroy is the best because, like, it'll absorb some of the rotting flesh and, like, it gives it this, like, really really cool faded look.
How many times have you brought things home that you're, like, really excited to wear and there's mothballs in it? How does that – you look like a person that would happen a lot to.
Yeah. No, I bought corduroys one time, and I got them home and shaked them, and it was crazy. I get home, I buy these corduroys, I get home, I fucking put them on, I reach in the pocket, and guess what I find?
A money clip.
JonBenet Ramsey's body.
Just in the pocket?
I know, it was crazy. It's
so
like,
crazy.
You know,
okay, so full disclosure, I don't know who that is.
Oh, she's a missing girl.
I thought you said...
You don't know JonBenet Ramsey?
No, I don't know anything about anyone, man.
We're on a podcast right now, and yep. You don't know who JonBenet Ramsey... She's like the... she's like the Michael Jordan of missing children.
Oh, okay, so she dunks.
Yeah. Yeah, no, because tons of kids have gone missing, but they weren't no JonBenet Ramsey.
Oh, you know, it's interesting. I didn't think we were going to get back to human trafficking that quickly. But here we've come full circle. How many Taken movies do you think they're going to have to make before they actually do something about human trafficking and kidnapping? How many times? I mean, fuck, what's his face? Liam Neeson's not going to last forever. How long are we going to be able to milk that Neeson teat? That's fun to say.
Neeson Teet.
Neeson Teet. Maybe that'll be the episode title. The non-ambiguous Neeson Teet. Now that sounds like a Watergate scandal. Or a movie with Robert Redford in it where he has to manipulate the CIA. I'm describing Spy Game. Never mind. We don't have to do that.
What if it's not like a human trafficking conspiracy and it's just another world that you can only enter through a wardrobe?
Oh, I see what you're saying here. Yeah. And that world would be very enticing to children because there would be like talking animals and mild assertions to magic, but not too much because that would be blasphemous. And other things. Like
yeah.
Fawns.
And a lion that's God.
Yeah, yeah. This is so plausible. I see it. I see it every day. I see it in every wardrobe that I pass. Just children walking into them and they don't walk out. I think we cracked the code. I think that explains why Wayfair was pulled in on that whole scandal. They're not shipping kids in cabinets. They're just the portal keepers to this, completely original idea that we just came up with here.
Yeah, dude, I'm actually, I'm writing like a movie about like the whole Wayfair scandal and like how it connects to this like international human trafficking organization that runs all over the world.
Are you actually writing that movie, or are we still doing a bit?
Well, no, I'm actually writing the movie. I'm going to call it The Indian in the Cupboard.
Oh my God, that's an amazing title. That's such a good title for that. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it a lot. The Indian in the Cupboard. That's going to be fun. Who are you? I mean, but that's going to be a hard role to cast. I mean, who are you going to get to play the Indian?
I mean, it'll be painfully ironic, casting children in a movie about human trafficking.
I think it's fine. I think it's all in good artfully done.
You're right. Like I can't. It always comes back to human trafficking.
Yeah, like we've tried to pull. I've tried to talk about your past. We've gotten there a little bit, but it always comes back to the fact that folks are getting snatched up off the streets and sent thousands of miles away to diddle. People with money.
Yeah, I always, whenever I see something weird, that's what I think. Like, I saw this sign that said computer for sale, and it didn't say, like, what type of computer, it just had a number, and I was just like, I'm not calling that number.
Right? I'm going to get stuffed into a van.
Ugh.
I may have just come up with a strategy to stop human trafficking entirely if we stop producing vans. Because then what? How are they gonna snatch the folks if there's no van to put? You're gonna stuff a person into a Honda Civic? That's not gonna work. Just stop making vans.
I just imagine people like, oh, man, I used to be a pedophile in the day, but I don't have the energy or the trunk space for that anymore.
Once my Kia Sedona crapped out on me, I was just like, well, I guess there goes that whole lifestyle.
These days I just birdwatch and I'm into indie flicks.
I drive a Chevy Tahoe.
Yeah.
Oh man. I don't know if you know this.
I miss the days when I used to hurt children.
Jesus Christ. Oh man. I knew there were gonna be things that came up as soon as we started talking. I was like, there's gonna be something that Daniel gets me to laugh about that I'm gonna feel sad about later. And here we are.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
It's always fun to play the game. Guys, there's nothing funny about human trafficking, but
oh man, you're one of the people that I like asking this type of question to. Do you think there's anything that is off limits in the realms of comedy?
No.
Yeah, you don't strike me as a taboo type of person.
Yeah, there's always an angle, but I mean, if it's, I would say like if it's shitty, it's shitty.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
yeah, you can write a good joke about anything, and anybody can.
Well, not you. Boom! Yeah. Mic drop moment. I had a comedian on an interview style podcast, and I put him down in a playful way. Camaraderie achieved. So what are your plans for the future, man? Like, what do you have coming down the turnpike? Are you just sitting on your laurels, hoping the world will like snap back into some semblance of what we used to know, or do you have a plan in motion?
I'm trying to egg corn right now. I'm just saving up money, and when this whole thing is over, I'm fucking out of here.
Are you talking about Acorn? The thing that like takes your spare change and rolls it into the stock market for you?
No, I'm talking about like Acorn is in like the thing that squirrels do where they stash acorns for later.
Oh, you have a plethora of acorns. And that's your get out of jail or get out of the world plan, is you're just going to take your acorns and bounce?
I mean, yeah, you know, sure. In this, we're going to keep the acorns are money. It's a metaphor.
Sorry, I get a lot of enjoyment out of making you explain your metaphors like I'm an idiot.
Hey, it's all right. You know, I love to explain metaphors.
Did you?
I love talking to you.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Why? Is it what comes out of my face?
You make me feel safe.
That's a weird thing to say to me because I don't feel safe with myself when I'm alone. So how do I make you feel safe? What is it that makes you feel safe in this moment, Daniel?
I like you.
Aw, is that it? That's the only criteria for safety?
Yeah.
I like you. I feel good now.
Yeah.
It can't be that simple. There has to be something else in the works here. There has to be some other play on the line.
I want to kiss you.
Well, that's going to be hard because you're not here physically.
Yeah, I'm just telling you what I want.
Oh, well, that's fair. I shouldn't argue with what you want in life. That's your bag, baby.
Indeed.
So, do you have anything coming up? Do you have anything you want to plug? I don't normally do that at the end of the episode, but you seem like you've got something coming down the pike that's about to pop off.
Yeah, I got some pretty pretty hot stones in the fire, actually. Tomorrow, I'm going to be at the park alone.
And then?
Later this week, I'll be at the podiatrist's office fucking killing it.
Dude, wait, what is a podiatrist?
Foot doctor.
Wrong answers only. What is a podiatrist?
Foot doctor.
Yes.
Oh, wrong answers only. What is a podiatrist? Do it again.
Okay, here we go. Third time's a charm. Wrong answers only. What's a podiatrist?
They treat dinosaur injuries.
Boom. I like it. Yeah, man.
My dinosaur's not quacking. Anybody know a good podiatrist?
That's a perfect episode ending right there. I like it. Just you. I don't even say bye to you. I'm going to cut all this out, and it's just going to end with you yelling about your dinosaur podiatrist.
Fucking great.
I think that matches your energy pretty well.
Oh yeah, I love, dude. I wish I had a dinosaur, and I wish it was. I wish it. I mean, I would be sad if it wasn't quacking.
Yeah, but is that because they're like actually based on birds, and so there has to be a dinosaur that kind of looks like a duck out there somewhere?
I don't know. I would assume that dinosaurs make like a weird noise that we wouldn't expect, and I'm just calling it a quack.
Do it. Do the weird dinosaur noise. What do you think dinosaurs sound like?
Ah!
Yeah, I would call that a quack. That's a quack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Dinosaurs would be bad at psychiatry. Total quacks.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Total quackheads.
Thank you so much for coming on, Daniel. This was fun.
Oh, I had a blast.
I'm glad. I'm glad you had a blast. This was, I also want to have you on the other podcast that I do with Luke.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that's a fun time too. We just sit around and laugh at each other about times that we sucked at comedy.
Right on, sister.
Well, hell yeah, dude. What else are you getting into today?
What is today? Sunday?
Yes.
I don't know. I might get a tattoo later.
Nice. My girlfriend was at a tattoo party.
Nice. I got my first tattoo like last week.
Oh, no shit. Let me see. It's not on your balls, is it?
It's on my butt.
That's fine. Let me see. Is it the outline of where that rubber bullet hit you?
Like Inception.
That is one of the best tattoos I've ever seen. That's super funny. Oh my god! Did you come up with that?
Yeah, I got a butt on my boobs on my butt. Bada bing, bada boom.
You came up with that, right? That's a Waterhouse original.
Oh, it all is.
Of course. You are one of the most unique people that I know.
Oh, thanks. Likewise.
Oh, that's a lie.
No, these are always my favorite podcasts to do. The other ones suck.
What do you mean by the other ones?
I've done other podcasts.
Right, but I just mean like stylistically, like what do you mean by this is my favorite kind of podcast? The one where there is no structure or plan?
No, just the ones that you do. I mean, like I feel like you're way better at producing podcasts than like anybody else that I've done a podcast with.
Oh, well, thank you, sir. I that means a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Well, bro, I will let you go because I got to hop on with Luke and record our other show here. But you enjoy your Sunday, sir.
You too. Toodle-doo.
Beware.
Love ya.
Love ya now. Say some words, Daniel.
Here are some words. Athletic equipment, kangaroo, jet ski, tennis ball, shoelaces, in fact, aglets.
Keep going.
Yeah, just
keep going.
Electrical equipment, power tools.
Give me all the words.
Fruit smoothie.
Keep going. Start going alphabetically.
Yeah. Apple, oranges, banana.
Apples, then oranges and bananas. I like your reassessment of the English language. That's fun.
Yep.
So yeah, there'll be a dumb little intro thing, words that I say at the beginning of every episode, and then I'll introduce you, and then we will talk about whatever strikes our fancy for an hour.
Hold on, let me pee. I don't want the drizzle to like be on recording.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Go ahead and pee under the illusion that you think I'm not recording this right now. Oh, yeah, loud and clear. We got that on GarageBand.
All right.
You're the one that took me into the bathroom with you. You could have set the phone down in any other room of the house. Yeah, that's how you know it's over.
Sorry, okay, sorry I crave intimacy.
Oh, that's absolutely amazing. This is going to be fun. I've been doing this thing where I start recording.
That was off the record.
I've started recording before I tell anyone, and then I dump it at the end of the episode like a post-credit scene in a Marvel movie. Oh, it's super fun. You ready? What?
I think that would be hilarious though, like just a scene in a movie where it's like somebody's on he's on the phone with the detective, and it's like, and he doesn't want to snitch, so he just goes, hey, I'll tell you this, but I want this off the record, and then you just hear him peeing.
I like that. That's a fun sketch idea. Oh, so yeah, you ready? You ready to kick this in the dick? Get it started. Get it going.
Dude, I'll kick anything in the dick once.
All right. Perfect. All right. Okay. All right. Here we. Okay. All right.
Woo!